Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday means you're one step closer to having meatloaf for dinner. Just saying. It's always about the food. And now I'm hungry. hour number three, I got a few more text messages. You had one on social media. What'd you say you had over there? Somebody streaming the show.
We got Charles Kiplinger on X says, well, on the visitor log issue, talking about Biden's residency, he said he'll quote Steve Bannon, quote, "There are no conspiracies, but there are also no coincidences."
Wow.
Kip from Morgan County.
Wow. Yeah, great text. There are no conspiracy theories, but there are also no coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Yellow Dog Mike taking issue. Yellow Dog Mike, of course you're taking issue. Okay, let's see how many things he crams into one text. Your constant bashing of Biden is disgusting. He has more class and integrity than Trump could ever hope for. Do you have no sense of decency? I got lots of sense of decency. I wish him well. Prayerfully. Hope he gets well. Guess what? He shouldn't have lied to us for 4 years.
Notice none of this has been directly at Biden, but at the people around Biden.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So, we're calling out the people that exploited Biden.
That's a great point. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, didn't Biden say we would cure cancer at a State of the Union address? I wonder if the timeline matches up with when he would have gotten the diagnosis. I don't know. Yeah, he had a thing. I think he called it the cancer moonshot. That's what they called it. He was taking the cancer moonshot, basically attributing to putting a man on the moon as being, that thing we overcame, science, technology came together, and he was going to cure cancer. And I believe that's when he invoked the memory of his son, Bo Biden, who died of brain cancer. He did. All right, this dipper I'm doing right now is called Did You See That? And the series of stories we had that were all like, what? Did you see that story? I mean, this is the kind of, Charlene and I have these conversations about a half a dozen times a day. Hey, honey, did you see that story? Or she'll say, hey, did you see what General Keane said? Or I mean, she does this. She's like my radar sometimes on stories because she'll point out things to me I didn't even see yet in the news. But here's one I did see. And if you got a video, you got the video of it? All right, JP is going to put it up for you live streamers who watch on rightsidemedia.org or whatever other the video sourcing we have. NBC News is where I pulled this one. Did you see the story about the Mexican sailing ship? This is no small ship. It's a three-master, large-scale sailing ship. It's a ceremonial. I get it. You want to make jokes about the Mexican Navy still using sailing ships? No, it's a ceremonial ship, but it's beautiful, and it's big, and it sailed right into the Brooklyn Bridge and snapped all three masts off. Apparently, the masts were upwards of 160 feet tall. The bridge was 148 feet above the water. Do the math. They apparently didn't do the math. We don't know what happened. There's something about the ship was drifting backwards. Somebody said that their engines got stuck in reverse. I don't know. All I know is, if you watch the video right now of it careening into the bridge and then drifting up against the pier, I think that's Navy Pier in New York, You look at this and go, what in God's name? But the thing is, right as they were about to hit the bridge, I mean, there's 277 people on board. This is a big ship. There's 277 people. The crew was all lining the booms and bows of the mast. They were lining it in ceremonial fashion. It had lights on all of the masts and the sails, and it just drifted right into the pier, snapped them all off. And what we do know is two people died from their injuries. It was knocking people off the mast. I mean, that's a big fall. But the crew, I think there were 19 that were hurt, two were killed. And at the same time, you look at it and go, you're coming down river in New York Harbor with a giant Mexican flag flying on the back of your ship, blasting the Mexican national anthem, and then you run into the Brooklyn Bridge. It almost feels like a metaphor for Mexican-American relations right now.
I saw plenty of that on
X. It just does. So you look at it and go, my gosh, did you see that story? If you haven't seen it, the video was playing a moment ago, and you can find it anywhere on social media right now. But it's a crazy story. I do know this. It's a ceremonial ship, and it's not uncommon because there's so much to teach about seamanship that you're not going to get if you just get on board a modern vessel, crank it up, and go. And so even I think the U.S. Coast Guard uses sailing ships to some degree for training. But this one is actually a ceremonial ship, and it was in New York Harbor or on the river for the purpose of getting ready for next year's 250th celebration of the United States. So Mexican ship, giant Mexican flag, sails into the Brooklyn Bridge while getting ready to celebrate the United States. There's so much you could do with that. You could almost make like an entire South Park episode out of that. Don't you think?
There's a lot of material there.
There's a lot of raw material there. Did you see that story? There it is. Here's another one. Did you see this story? Totally separate subject. Did you see this story? 7 fugitives remain on the run. There were 10 inmates who broke out from a New Orleans jail. And this was not like they bum-rushed the guard and knocked him down while they were out on a work detail. No. These are 10 people with like murder, domestic abuse, burglary. I mean, these were violent criminals. And they somehow or another were all able to be in the same cell where someone had removed the sink from the wall, broken through the wall, created an escape hole, and they climbed out.
Was it a sink? I heard it was a toilet. It was one or the other, I think.
Well, it's one of those jail things, believe it or not, where it's all stainless steel. The toilet is the lower part. The sink is the upper part. So where you and I see the basin for the flush mechanism, mm-hmm. that's actually a sink.
Yeah.
So you straddle the toilet to brush your teeth, I guess.
Yeah.
But even still, they moved it and they got out. There is strong belief that there was an inside job. Like, how did the guards leave them alone for that long a time? There was something about the guards went to, quote unquote, get some food. And it was like 7 hours of time that these guys had a chance to get together. Video cameras captured the 10 inmates breaking out of the cell, running from the Orleans Parish Justice Center, which is the main jail. It's the main jail in New Orleans. This is the main jail in New Orleans. They scaled a fence. They used blankets to protect themselves from the barbed wire, ran across the interstate, changed clothes, and then a female civilian employee was monitoring the pods, had, quote unquote, stepped away to get food and missed the getaway. Okay. Pretty sure she's being questioned. Are you putting the video up right now? Look at you. Yeah, so JP's got the video of them running away. The gaping hole was used by the escapees, appeared to have been hidden behind a toilet. There it is. Inmates wrote, "Too easy, LOL," and "We innocent," among other things. They wrote on the wall as they left. I mean, this was not only well planned out, they were having a big time doing it.
I'm sorry, that part's kind of funny.
when you write on the wall, "Too easy, LOL," and then you crawl out and escape. What the heck, man? 7 of them, 3 of them were caught right away. 7 of them were still on the run. The security issues that we're finding out now, though, is the jail has faulty cell doors, low staffing. Like, it's only 60% staffing. 4 supervisors, 36 staff members were monitoring 1,400 inmates. Good Lord. And so, 7 of them still on the run have yet to be caught. Did you see that story? That's crazy. All right. How about this one? This doesn't usually happen. Let's talk politics for a minute. I hold here in my calloused former paratrooper hands a story from Fox News over the weekend. So Friday afternoon, if you were listening, I hope you were, there was the story that the Republican members of the Freedom Caucus had blocked Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. If you remember, the Big Beautiful Bill is the one, it's the reconciliation bill. It takes basically most of the Trump agenda, things like bolstering defense, bolstering border security, dealing with fraud, waste, and abuse in places like Medicaid and others. And then it actually has a debt ceiling increase, which I'm really not a fan of, but it has all this merged into one bill. And by doing it like this, It goes into what's called a reconciliation process, which allows them to go for a 51-vote simple majority, which we've got in the Senate, and a simple majority in the House, which we've got. If we break it all down and do separate bills, then because we're outside of the reconciliation process, we get stuck with having to have 60, and we'll never get it from Schumer's people. We'll never get it from Hakeem Jeffries. So the big, beautiful bill, they call it, got jammed up on Friday. Well, you love to see government actually going to work. I don't mean like working. I mean just going to work. There's a lot of talk, and I at state government, I saw it all the time. You guys don't do anything. Well, where were you? We were there all night in the chamber during filibusters. So they're working. But a story came out. This is a very rare thing. Lawmakers on the House Budget Committee were summoned back into Washington, D.C. for a 10 p.m., that's 10 o'clock at night, a 10 p.m. meeting to vote again on the bill, and it passed the panel in a nearly party-line vote, 17 to 16. So basically, we got the bill out of committee. What they're saying right now is because Speaker Johnson was able to basically cajole people into getting on board, finding the concessions they could make without losing the purpose of the bill, and get it done. He said he had productive discussions with the people who were holding out. It worked out well. They're moving it to the floor. They still got to get some people in line for final votes. But what it bottom line means is they're looking at trying to have a bill through both the House and the Senate for Trump to sign by 4th of July. And if we do, then we're looking at the Trump tax cuts being extended. We're looking at bolstering the ability to secure our southern border. We're looking about increases to defense. And that's all good stuff. That happened. This weekend that happened. That never happens on a weekend. 10 o'clock at night it happened on the weekend. And now we're moving forward on a Monday. That's good stuff. We'll take a break right now. I'll come right back. I got a few more of these. Like, did you hear about the bombing in Palm Springs? Did you? If you didn't, I'm going to tell you about it. And then what's happening in Israel? I'll tell you. Did you see that story? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. A couple of quick text messages. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I think maybe the Mexicans on the boat were still celebrating Cinco de Mayo and had a few too many margaritas. It's very possible. More to come. Chris from Gadsden checking in says, I think the ship was drifting backwards when it hit the bridge. It was actually, and there was some speculation that maybe their engines were stuck in reverse, which you look at it and go, how's that happen? Then again, maybe they had the few margaritas. Brian S. from Huntsville says, regarding Yellow Dogs, it's interesting to talk about the integrity of a man who had to drop out of a presidential race for plagiarizing his speeches. That's a good point. Just because someone is sick doesn't mean you lie about them and try to make them better than they actually are. Lying is always wrong, and Joe Biden, while I wish him well, does not have integrity. Spoken like you nailed it, Brian S. from Huntsville. I got another story here. Did you see the thing about the bombing in Palm Springs? You see that?
I actually don't know much about that. I saw the headline, but that's about it.
So it's a wild story. The first thing I saw was I thought, oh, somebody bombed an abortion clinic and it's going to be a radical Christian nationalist. No, it was an IVF clinic. It was an IVF clinic, and apparently it was targeted because it was an IVF clinic, because that's technically a pro-life measure. It's allowing people an opportunity who couldn't otherwise have a child. And we're learning some things about the bomber now. And by the way, this was a show enough bomb. Like it did some devastating damage. And the bomber we now know was a guy. You see the story? The guy's name was Guy Edward Barkas. He was young. He's from 29 Palms, California. The bomb went off at a fertility clinic in Palm Springs, California. It was his car. It was a car bomb. Blew up his car, apparently killed himself in it. There's some belief he may have been trying to live stream himself blowing it up. But what we're learning about him is a bit whacked. Like, okay. Well, he was doing car bombs, so he's already whacked. We know that.
Somebody who does a car bomb on an IV episode.
That's not a stable person. I get it. But this guy, by the way, nobody else, he's the only one that was killed, but he did do massive damage. You could feel it like 2 miles away. The interesting dynamic is he was doing it to stop people from having children. Mm. He was what they call a nihilist. In fact, Robbie Starbuck put up a piece on him. I am going to tell you right now that I do not have anything to attribute this to. I am not looking at anything except Robbie Starbuck's post. if Robbie Starbuck or anybody else has the actual social media postings that say, here's what it was, then please give us the sourcing documents. But I do believe that Robbie Starbuck is nailing this. I think it's true. He said the bomber is a guy named Edward Barkus. He's part of an anti-natalist cult who believes it's wrong to have more children. He left behind a website, I guess, that says he's an abolitionist vegan. Okay, he's reaching for all of the great moments here. He's an abolitionist vegan, an atheist who prefers Satan over God, and then he calls himself an elfilist, as in elves. Like, I guess he's into elves. I don't know. He's an elfilist. He talked about sterilizing the planet of the disease of life. His absolute ideology hates pro-life people. This was his attempt to kill as many babies as he could by taking out an IVF clinic. But God had other plans, said Robbie Starbuck. I agree with that. Despite the bombing being felt over a mile away, all the embryos at the facility survived, and Barkus was killed. And at one point he said in his own manifesto, I'm very against IVF. It's extremely wrong. These are people who are having kids after they've sat there and thought about it. So how much more stupid can it get, he said. Wow. And this guy had a driver's license. Just saying.
There's a spiritual battle going on.
There's absolutely a spiritual battle. Yeah, good point. The war in the heavenlies manifesting itself in the life of Guy Edward Barkus. But did you see that story? I mean, so if this had been a normal weekend, a Mexican ship sailing on the Brooklyn Bridge would have been the standalone single story. It wasn't. If this had been a normal news weekend, the idea that the Republicans came in at 10 o'clock at night, got themselves in order, and voted to pass the big, beautiful bill for Trump's agenda would have been a major story. It flew under the radar almost. If this had been a normal weekend, the fact that a IVF clinic was bombed by a Satanist would have been the lead story. It was being buried by other stories. I mean, we had all the stuff about Biden's prostate cancer hit over the weekend. We had all the stuff about the Robert Herr interview audios coming out now where you can hear Biden struggling to even remember what day it was. And then, oh, by the way, big happenings in Israel. We'll come back. I'll tell you a couple more things on the Did You See That? Because it's like when you're talking to people later on and they're just talking about the one or two stories they know, you're going to know a half dozen or more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. I mean to say, comes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now get to call, once again, Fort Benning. Well, that's a lot of air. And even big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that, by the way, is just the radio. Just the radio. That doesn't include all of our podcast audience, the people who live stream the show every single day. And we love you and we thank you. And we appreciate the fact that this audience has given this show life. And so thank you very much. I got to make an announcement, a shameless plug, if you will. Not afraid to make the shameless plug. So, you know, at Right Side, we got a lot of stuff going on. So Right Side Media is the parent company. Right Side Radio is only one of our productions. 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, all the prep work in advance, the posting thereafter. I'm talking about a lot of stuff for Right Side Radio alone, but we also have a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, we got 5 video podcasts that are going right now. 3 new additions just popped out. We got Right Click with Birdman. We got Out of Right Field with JP. And we got The Controversial Mom with Emily Jones. And here's the deal. Coming up tomorrow night, we are excited to announce a brand new long-form podcast. It's called the Just Right Podcast with Phil Williams. It gives you an opportunity to get deep dive conversations with the coolest people. The very first episode, Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, who's battling human traffickers now, talks everything from time in the SEAL teams, deployments downrange, fighting human trafficking, and faith and family and all of it. And what's it like, oh, by the way, for a Navy SEAL to be the daddy of 2 little girls? I mean, it's a great deep dive into the human nature of the kind of person that does the kind of things he does. And I love it.
Also a great conversation between the both of y'all about faith and how it played a role during y'all's time in the military. Great conversation there.
Cool.
Very balanced and great podcast, I'd say, all around.
Thanks, man. Well, appreciate that. Listen, the production quality is amazing. We're super excited about it. The Just Right podcast comes out tomorrow night. We got three in the can already, so you'll have one every Tuesday for the next 3 weeks. And yeah, I'm pretty stoked about it. Here's a special we're doing just to thank all of y'all that I know are going to be tuning in. You can go to our rightsidemedia.org website. We have a store where you can buy coffee mugs, t-shirts, hats, all that. We're doing a promo code Just Right. If you use the promo code Just Right, everything's 10% off. Just across the board. We were talking to had a staff meeting the other day, and I said, "What can we do, man? Let's give the audience something." So we said, about promo code, give them all a discount. So you want coffee mugs, t-shirts, all that kind of stuff, we're slapping a 10% discount on there with the promo code Just Right in honor of our new Just Right podcast. Comes out tomorrow at 6 p.m. Go buy some merch. Let me get a couple more things here on the Did You See That category. So did you see, which one do I want? Here, I'll do this one. Did you see, because by the way, had this been a normal weekend, this would have been a standalone story by itself. But right now, Israel has launched a major offensive into Gaza. That whole thing about, you know, ceasefire while we're waiting on the hostages to be released, and they dribble out one every couple of weeks. You know what? Done with that. So the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, launched a major set of airstrikes and ground offensive to literally say, they say this is the one. They're eradicating Hamas from the face of the earth. I mean, this is scorched earth. They are going in now, and they're saying they have eliminated dozens of terrorists, dismantled terrorist infrastructure sites above and below ground, and are currently deploying to key positions within Gaza. And the Israeli defense minister, Israel Katz, said, the heroism of the IDF soldiers and the unity of our people and the determination of the political echelon increased the chances of the return of hostages, as it was then and as it is now. That's a great phrase, and I'm sure that there's some messaging in the way it was worded. But the bottom line is this. The war in Gaza has reached a new level, all right? The war in Gaza has reached a new level. As if it wasn't rough enough, Israel has said, yep, we're done. It says the new offensive will not stop until Israel has accomplished its aims of rescuing the hostages or having them returned, and until Hamas has been completely dismantled. That is a news story by itself. And then there's this one, and I'll end with this. I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Daily Wire has a story about Iran. Now, listen. Experts say that Iran is within days at most, or at least, let me rephrase this, weeks at most, days potentially, of having a nuclear weapon. Their uranium enrichment has reached that level where all they got to do is step up their centrifuge capabilities, and they may very well be able to field a nuclear weapon. Now, the deployment of it is still an issue, but I think you have to watch and say, it's not just whether they can fit that thing on a missile and make it work. You can man-pack that thing across the border. You can drive it somewhere. You can sell it to a terrorist organization. Or for that matter, you don't even have to do all of that. You can start loading some of your existing ballistic missiles with enriched uranium that may not be nuclear weapon capable, but they could certainly create a dirty bomb yesterday. Well, there's talk about whether or not Iran would come to the table. There's even been some discussion today about whether Iran would be willing to have negotiated discussions with the Trump administration. I've got a story right here on Fox News that says the Iranian president calls for negotiations and dialogue as nuclear talks continue. Okay, that's interesting. Trump the other day when he was speaking in the Middle East. I mean, this is, as far as foreign policy goes, this is a story by itself, and yet there are so many stories in one weekend it was being buried. The Iranian president, Masoud Pezeshkian, spoke over the weekend reiterating Iran's commitment to dialogue and desire for a civilian nuclear program. So they didn't release it. They didn't say no. They just said, we'll talk to the U.S. after Trump had just finished saying, we wish the Iranian people well, but we will not allow them to have a nuclear device. I would like for Iran to be successful, he basically said. But I'm not going to stand by while they develop nuclear weapons. So we're looking right now at whether or not there will be negotiations. Meanwhile, story on Daily Wire from this weekend. The Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei slammed President Donald Trump in front of a crowd that was shouting death to America in recent comments as the U.S. is trying to negotiate a new nuclear deal. Khamenei accused Trump of lying about attempts to bring peace to the Middle East. The Supreme Leader also referred to Israel as a cancerous tumor that needs to be uprooted. Sound like peace talks to you? Not really. Khamenei said, Iran intends to increase our power. He said, one can use power for peace and security. This is why we will increase our power and the power of our country every day. Listen, there's a lot of reason to believe that the power base in Iran is in a world of hurt right now. There's a lot of reason to believe that the man on the street is sick to death of the Ayatollahs. But the Ayatollahs also rule with an iron fist. So the question is going to be, is there something that can be done that puts the power back in the people on the street to take back their country? At the same time, what's going to happen to prevent Iran from going nuclear? And it's a tenuous situation. This is both statesmanship and brinksmanship. This is foreign policy being executed in such a way that you have to look at it and go, my gosh, if Biden was still in office, all they'd be doing is flying pallets of cash over there and saying, please be nice to us. We'll try to be nice to you. But right now we're dealing from positions of strength. So on the one hand, the Iranian president says today, we'll be talking, while the Ayatollahs are saying death to America and we intend to grow stronger. That's a mess. That's an absolute mess. All right, listen, but the bottom line was I had to run those stories for you because every single one of those is a water cooler conversation. If you're sitting around at work and someone says, hey, man, did you see that? Now you have. You get it. You've seen it. And I'm just telling you, every one of those would have been a standalone top-tier headline buried by the next story in a weekend that was so filled with news you couldn't hardly keep up. That never happens on the weekend. Couple of quick text messages. John from Lexington, South Carolina says it was almost Cinco de Hudson. Cinco. Get it? Cinco. Womp, 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 womp. Give me a sound effect for that one, man. There it is. That very one. Thank you, John. Scott from Somerville. Irrelevant to the topic, so why are you sending it to me, man? Oh, no, I'm not. I don't. No, stop. Just listen. He thinks I look like a pro wrestler.
I don't see it.
I don't see it. I have better hair.
Yeah.
Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I heard one report that he had burned his family home down. Oh, the guy. Oh, really? I've not heard that, Jeff. But you know what, though? It sounds like he was a troubled individual. He was young, too, by the way. He was like in his early 20s, the guy that bombed that IVF clinic. How do you get that disturbed that early, that deep into a cult that is so nihilistic that it believes that killing embryos is the right way to do things to keep people from having babies? That's whacked. And oh, by the way, it's gonna disappear soon because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Yeah, I, like I said, if it was against an abortion clinic,
oh my gosh.
Would be white nationalism, Christian nationalism.
Oh yeah, easily.
But this story is, like I said, I haven't heard much about it except the headline.
Oh, he's against pro-lifers? Oh. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make eye contact. Look the other way.
Not convenient.
All right. Listen, one story I didn't get into that I will just touch on real quick is Bruce Springsteen. What's up with Bruce Springsteen? I used to like Bruce Springsteen. I don't listen to his stuff. There's very few of these opinionated Hollywood and music elites that I will just like not listen to anymore. I don't want to see anything Robert De Niro anymore. And I don't want to see anything Bruce Springsteen anymore.
It's such a shame because Robert De Niro is such a great actor.
I know.
You know, I'll watch some of his old stuff before he was like he is now, but not the new stuff, I guess.
So you go pre-woke De Niro.
Yeah. So, like, I guess if I'm watching something that's post his liberal craziness era, it's like I'm rewarding this version of Robert De Niro, but I guess I see the old version of that's when he was still okay, you know. I guess I'm just trying to cope with the fact that I love his movies, so.
Are you talking to me? Yeah. Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess. But Bruce Springsteen, apparently, you know, and Trump hit back at him, called him a dried-out prune and all that kind of stuff. But apparently Springsteen did a concert. He was out of the country somewhere. Was he in England? Where was he?
I don't know.
But he did a concert outside of the country and then ripped his own country on a foreign stage and ripped Trump and thought it'd be cool. But the karma piece was when he fell down on the stage a few minutes later. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like literally just crashed out on the stage, total like Biden flop, just like
Biden flop.
Did I coin a phrase? Biden flopped on the stage right there in front of everybody. So yeah,
it's like to one of my favorite artists is Roger Waters with Pink Floyd, and yeah. He's just a maniac liberal, and it's just so disappointing. I mean, he's like 82, and he was just like, just shut up, dude. Just go to you're ruining your classics right now. Just go. Go be. Stop talking.
I feel certain that if all the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd were still here, they'd be Republicans.
I'd agree with that.
Just saying. Take me to a break, JP. We'll take the last break of the day on a Meatloaf Monday. Come right back and wrap it for the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.